Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We will continue moving on in our study of the book of Ecclesiastes. We are in chapter 8. We are looking at the third area of wisdom to understand and address some of the mysteries of life that Solomon deals with in this chapter. And the section we're dealing with has to do with wisdom as it relates to wickedness, unrestrained wickedness. And there are certainly some important lessons to learn in that category. We have already covered the consequences of leniency in verse 11. Because, we read, the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Something that wisdom will keep in mind, will weigh very carefully in regard to dealing with evildoers. We furthermore learn the value of righteousness, that though judgment be long delayed, those who fear God will escape judgment because their judgment is born upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there is room for leniency, but that leniency is extended to those who repent, who acknowledge their guilt, who accept the justness of the sentence for sin, the full sentence of sin that they deserve, but in recognizing all those things, avail themselves of the mercy that is found in Jesus Christ and in Him alone, the one that God has set forth to be the substitute to bear the judgment in the place of believing sinners. And that is good news. That is wonderful news, and we thank God for it. But there's more to learn in this section as well, and so we'll continue on. Thank you for joining me on this Thursday, December 3. Thank you for remembering that we can only do this by the financial help of radio listeners just like you. And this month is the month that we really depend upon radio listeners to come through, as we'll be making decisions at the end of the year in regard to our radio log, the stations that we will continue on in the year 2021. We come now to the principles of judgment in verses 13 and 14. But it will not be well with the wicked, nor will he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he does not fear before God. The principles of justice, and this is telling us that justice will prevail one way or the other, that unrepentant sinners will not fare well, and that death comes inevitably followed by divine judgment. It does in God's world. And even in this sinful, broken world where it appears that justice is not being meted out, you can be certain, 100% certain, that justice will prevail as long as God is God. If you can get rid of God, then you can get rid of justice, divine justice. If you can topple God off his throne so that he's no longer the supreme ruler of this universe, then you can thwart justice. But as long as God is God, and you're not going to change that, and as long as God rules the universe which he created, and you're not going to change that, then you can be certain that justice will prevail. God guarantees that. It will not be well with the wicked, nor will he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he does not fear before God. His days are as a shadow. Those who fear God have everlasting life. Their days are not as a shadow, even if their days on this earth end, and they always do for everyone, but their days are not as a shadow. They go from the joys of this life into the immensely greater joys of eternal life, the wonderful life that God gives to those who trust in his Son. But those who refuse, those who spurn God's mercy, those who turn up their nose at God's justice and at his rule and think that they can somehow thwart it are going to be sadly, sadly mistaken. They're going to realize how sadly, sadly mistaken they are someday when divine justice will prevail. But as we learn in verse 14, justice is not always immediately evident. It's always there, but it's not always immediately evident. There is a vanity which occurs on earth, that there are just men to whom it happens according to the work of the wicked. Again, there are wicked men to whom it happens according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. What's he saying? Well, he's saying that in this life, the righteous may suffer like the wicked, or like the wicked should. And in this life, sometimes the wicked may prosper like the righteous should. In other words, sometimes justice is not always immediately evident in this life. It's not always carried out in a clear and manifest way in this life. But, as verse 13 tells us, justice will ultimately prevail. Though it is not always immediately seen, you can be certain that it will always be carried out. It will always prevail. That you can take to the bank, as we say. That you can stake your soul upon. Justice will prevail. God's justice will prevail. The evildoer is going to reap the just consequences of his evil doing. The one who trusts in God, who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ, will enjoy the blessings that come to those who trust in him. And you can be certain that in the final analysis, that will always, 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 always be the case. There are no exceptions. Mark it down. And then in this section that has to do with wisdom and wickedness, we have finally the value of joyful living in verse 15. So I commended enjoyment, because a man has nothing better under the sun than to eat, drink, and be merry, for this will remain with him in his labor all the days of his life which God gives him under the sun. What is Solomon saying here? He's saying, in this world, learn to live in joyful gratitude to God. Or, another way to put it, in this fallen world, learn to enjoy God-given blessings. Living for God means to enjoy the blessings of life without covetousness, without greed, without idolatry, but also without guilt. Have you learned that lesson? I'll run that by you again. Living for God, or to put it another way, living in a God-pleasing manner, means your ability to enjoy the blessings of life without covetousness, without greed. Those two things are closely related, of course. Without idolatry, but also without guilt. Now let me explain that a little more fully, because that's what Solomon is dealing with here. So, I commended enjoyment, again verse 15, because a man has nothing better under the sun than to eat, drink, and be merry, for this will remain with him in his labor all the days of his life which God gives him under the sun. learn to live your life in joyful gratitude to God. Learn, even in this fallen and sinful world, to enjoy God-given blessings, the simple blessings of life, such as eating and drinking and being merry, that is, enjoying the blessings of life, the joyful aspects of life. Learn to enjoy those. Learn to receive them from the hand of a gracious God and to enjoy them without, and now remember what I told you earlier, without covetousness. In other words, don't take the blessings of God. Here it mentions eating and drinking, the simple blessings of food, but it can be any material blessing of life. Don't take the blessings of God and be ungrateful for them because you are unhappy that you don't have more. Be grateful for what you have been given. Be able to take the blessings which God gives and enjoy them. Enjoy them with satisfaction, not with covetousness. Not coveting what others have that you don't have, but rather enjoying what God has given to you. Recognizing that God is God, God is sovereign. God bestows in each life what He deems is best for that life at that time. There may be times when you will be in tight circumstances, and you will know others who are in comfortable circumstances, and if you don't guard your heart, you're going to be resentful, you're going to be covetous. Don't be that way. That will rob you of joy. Learn to accept what God has given to you, even if it's simple, and enjoy it. I can only simply tell you that in my own life, my wife and I have been through some very, very tight times in our days, and I'm not going to go into any details, but in the early days of our marriage, we went through some very, very tight times. Oh my, I can remember some of those times. And yet, we were as happy then, I promise you, by the help and grace of God, we were as happy then as we are in times of relative plenty. And it's all relative, of course. How is that so? Because your joy doesn't depend on how much you have. Take what God gives and learn to accept it joyfully, without covetousness, without greed, without idolatry. Idolatry, of course, is making a god out of things. Starting to put the things that God has blessed you with in the place of God, giving them greater priority in your life than God Himself. Don't do that. Living for God means to enjoy the blessings of life without covetousness, without greed, without idolatry, but also, listen to me now, without guilt. If God has blessed you with certain material benefits in your life that you didn't acquire sinfully, you didn't acquire unjustly, you didn't acquire because you made that your idol and you determined you were going to have these things at all costs, whether God granted them to you righteously or not, you grasped them one way or another. Well, if you have been given blessings in life that have been given to you legitimately without these wrong motives and wrong actions, then learn to enjoy them. Now learn to be generous with them, learn to give to others, learn to give generously back to God, of course, but learn to enjoy them without guilt. That honors the God who gives them. We're talking about the value of joyful living. And there are a lot of God's people who haven't learned these lessons, and you need to, in order to honor the Lord with your life. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.